What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that talk was a cheeseburger, you stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 Quack!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Bombay gave him that C. I'm Mike. That's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, Definitive Money Dash Podcast. We are back, and we have some news, actually. We have some news. A lot of good feedback on our previous episode on Conway, I should say. But we are back again, and Emilio Estevez, should I just jump into it? Is there anything else we need to discuss, or can I just jump into it?
Jump into it. So, Mike, we're going to go over some news, a recent Emilio Estevez interview, and then we're going to get into kind of a sequel to our Conway podcast.
There you go. Perfect. All right. So this came out. Let me check the date here. So May 3rd. So we're recording this May 13th. You'll listen to this probably 2 weeks after this came out, but kind of slid under the radar until I found it, at least. So Emilio Estevez is promoting a re-release of his movie called The Way. So he's doing his media rounds, telling some stories, and he talked to UPI, and he said that he would return for another Mighty Ducks if Disney agreed to his pitch. And he lobbed some bombs in this story. So he says, quote, "I have my own pitch for how to reboot the Mighty Ducks, and I have no ill will towards Disney." So that's good. He talks about, you know, Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, ever wants to sit down and talk about how to reboot the Mighty Ducks, like, he has an idea. He said he'd bring back Josh Jackson. And then this is where he starts lobbing some bombs against Game Changers. He said he felt Game Changers, quote, "didn't pay the proper homage to the movie. The fans were the first ones to tell us that. That is really the reason why I didn't return for a second season." Later on in the story, he says, "it's painful. It was painful to go work on that set every day. It was just the writing and the execution." And he said the only positive, essentially, was that he had some great relationships with some really good directors. And that was the only positive. So I guess just initial impressions before we dive into this further.
So, okay, a couple quick thoughts. Obviously, he listens to the podcast, so we can, you know, dispense with any questions there.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that he didn't mention Brill at all in that. Maybe there is some bad blood there. Interesting that he just, like, went straight to the top to Bob Iger.
Yeah,
I think that's an interesting man, the only good thing that came from it was his relationship with directors. Like, what?
That's,
yeah, like, no shout out to the kids or anything. Like, I don't know, that just seemed pretty heavy-handed. But I mean, I know we all agree with what he said. I mean, I don't think there are any, you won't get any questions there.
Yeah, there's definitely some truths to what he said, but Tommy, your initial impressions when you saw/heard this?
Yeah, and so it's interesting, kind of like each part was like, I think that the headline was a good headline, slightly misleading. Emilio just says the reboot, bring back Josh Jackson. It's like, you know, I think every single person in this world would have said that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I mean, I'm not going to fault him for telling the truth there.
I think him saying it carries some weight.
That's a good point. Him saying it does make that important. He's definitely pulling no punches there. He's right. Yeah, there wasn't enough, like, of a, you know, it wasn't honoring the original, especially season two, which I don't know if he even saw. And if he did, he knows what was in season two potentially, because they're was, you know, very few callbacks to the original Ducks. You know, I tend to, you know, want to believe people's, you know, best intentions. I do think season one was up against it with, you know, filming in COVID. It was very difficult. You know, you could only really have that one episode with all the cameos. But yeah, season two was obviously incredibly different. And again, I said it wasn't good, though I do appreciate the difficulty of it all. I'm a little skeptical of Emilio saying that. What did he say? The only reason he didn't come for two because it didn't pay enough.
So he said it was, you know, painful. So in the story, he says that's it just goes back to his deadline statement, which is it was a good old fashioned contract dispute and I can't say the word myriad of creative differences. And then he just said to UPI, it was painful. It was painful to go to work on that set every day. It was just the writing and the execution.
Yeah. And so I agree to some extent that, like, yeah, like, I guess maybe he season two now, obviously there was no Gordon Bombay. So we don't know what he was presented with season two. Right.
Right.
Now maybe there's a little bit of, you know, revisionist. I didn't think the writing was bad per se. So obviously he knows so much more and maybe things were really like punched up. It's, you know, I'm not going to say Emilio Estevez is like Hollywood royalty, but he can and does say what he wants and he can, and he has that right. And he's not going to get like blackballed or anything for like essentially shitting on the show that he was on. And so I appreciate it. Now, maybe there were some other things going on behind the scenes, but for him to essentially, without naming names, saying fuck those showrunners, you know,
right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I do think he is Hollywood royalty. I mean, he comes from like a royal family of Hollywood. Like
that's a good point. He absolutely does.
I think it's really interesting, like the idea of like Emilio Estevez, the director, taking over. I think that might also carry a little bit of weight. Because I mean, he has become kind of a pretty accomplished director in his own right. And I think that would be a really interesting kind of way to shepherd a new generation of the Ducks world, you know, a next evolution of it for Disney. And I think it does carry more weight that he is kind of throwing his reputation behind that a little bit. Because there was no reason that he didn't have any need to say any of this.
Right.
Like, you know, I feel like it seems like it is something that maybe he does want to do, because otherwise he probably would have just brushed off this question and been like, hey, you know, it was a contract dispute, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what other motivation he had for answering the question the way he did.
Right. Yeah. I think he's trying to get something started for sure. My biggest issue is like season one, we talked about written in COVID. I thought it did a fairly good job of paying homage to the movies in the way they could have. Like, they brought back as many Ducks as they could, from what we know, at least. And, you know, there were some limitations just with the way the filming was. But season one, not bad. But he's talking about it was painful every day in the writing execution. Like, I think most of us, at least, maybe not 100%, but were positive on season one. I think it was where season two, where it dropped down. And as Tommy mentioned, we don't know what the real plot to season two was. We don't know anything about possible cameos with season two on the original plot. No one will really talk about it. The only thing that I will clarify is there have been some rumbles that it was more than just this COVID shot, the way he's saying. So I think it falls somewhere in between purely he didn't want to get vaccinated and, you know, just a good old fashioned contract dispute. I think it obviously sits in the middle there. Do you feel like there's any chance this actually happens?
I think that if Emilio wanted it to happen or wants it to happen, well, actually, Josh Jackson would have to say yes. I mean,
right. Yeah.
Because Bob Iger and the Disney folks could say like, hey, you kind of fucked us there. And so why should we like do this? You know, so I think if Josh Jackson said, hey, I've got an idea, let's talk about it, and it's going to be me and Emilio, and I want Emilio to, you know, essentially be directing this, then I think it would immediately be in advanced talks. But, you know, is this a case of Emilio saying the right things? You know, yes, but maybe those right things are also all true. And so. Yeah. You know, we'll continue to do what we can to find out. And, you know, sometimes we hear things that we can't report because we're professionals. But I think what we can say is that there's definitely, you know, some things for some people specifically in this article that aren't named, and you know, they'll read it and know exactly that they're being spoken about.
Yeah.
I think that's entirely true. I think Josh, the ball is in Josh Jackson's court to an extent. I think the second piece of that is like Disney is very different right now than what they were 5 years ago, even. Like,
right.
They're slashing everything and not doing anything but Marvel movies and Star Wars. Like Bob Iger was brought back specifically for that reason, to like cut costs and fix their streaming platform. So I think it would be very difficult to get this made at Disney. And B, I agree that Josh Jackson kind of would hold the keys to that, but I don't know if that's enough to get Disney to make that leap.
What's interesting is I think if Josh Jackson said, I want to do this, you could get a movie made like for $40 million or something like that. And being like, hey, this is a calculated risk on Disney saying like, we're going to try something. And we want to see if we can, you know, make a profit off of this thing by doing it, you know, quote, the right way, or not necessarily right, because I liked Game Changer season one, but doing it the way that everyone wanted it to be. So, I mean, it's like, think about The Force Awakens. You had to get the big three back, and they did. And you know,
slightly larger audience followed. For that one, though.
obviously. But, you know, I think the one criticism for Game Changer season one is like, yeah, no, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love, and I was going to say,
in season two, they had the one line in season one is like, oh, like Charlie said, like they were setting up the Bombay and Charlie butting heads. And so it's my hope that season two was like, we're trying to get Josh Jackson for this to have the Charlie Bombay reconciliation or whatever.
Yeah, I would love, and obviously they're never going to release these, but like I would love to know what the actual numbers were for season one, because I mean that might also tell the story. Like they might be like, hell yeah, we would do this because the numbers were so great for at least the beginning of season one or whatever. So maybe there is, you know, some hope there. Obviously we don't have any insight into that, but I think that would tell kind of the other side of that story that might make that a financially worthwhile endeavor for Disney.
And last thing I'll say is, you know, one thing the showrunner sold us, so they did want to make their own, you know, art. And, you know, maybe Emilio was like, we got to get Josh Jackson. This is how you do it. And there's like, hey, we're making our own story. And so maybe that just, you know, not going to be eye to eye. Emilio didn't want to come back, et cetera. And, you know, it's my understanding that, you know, there weren't as many characters in season two, you know, you got to think that there wasn't as great of a budget. And so I don't know.
Yeah. A joint Emilio Josh Jackson pitch, I think would be very strong. I just don't know the right, like Steve Brill created these characters. I don't know how that all works either. Would he just get like based on characters created by Steve Brill in the credits and get some money? Like, I don't know if he has to approve it. This might be a question for OG Quacklight Joyce, but.
So I doubt that he would have to approve. I believe Disney owns all this. He probably just gets like points or whatever, and he gets, you know, residuals. But, you know, he doesn't own Charlie Conway,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so, like, yes, he created the characters and all that. But it's like when you license something and buy the rights, like you have it. It's like if I write a book that says I wrote a book about or a script like, oh, Superman goes to the Revolutionary War. and that's like a fucking stupid idea. But Disney might say, or not Disney, DC would say, we're going to buy that from you for $2,000. So in case we ever want Superman to team up with George Washington, we're not going to get sued or whatever. Now they own the rights to that and those ideas. So like, yeah, Brill wouldn't have to sign off on all of this as far as now, as my understanding.
Got it. So if this was to happen in some form, whether it's a TV show, maybe a movie, Josh Jackson, Emilio Estevez come. Do you think they'd acknowledge Game Changers at all, or is they just like pushing that out of the canon?
I think you have to acknowledge it because there was Gordon Bombay stuff, unless he was like, I had the strangest dream the other day that I owned an ice palace. I think you can totally ignore season two, though, unless you wanted to bring back like Brady Noon and being like, hey, we missed you at summer camp.
Fair enough. All right. Anything else on this before we move on?
No, I think it's interesting. I mean, it keeps the fire lit. That's for sure. And I don't think it's nothing. I don't think we could brush it off as like, oh, Emilio just kind of wanted to get that off his chest. I think there's a non-zero chance this gets made. I just think it's, or something happens. I just think it's very, very slim, especially with like the climate at Disney right now.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I don't think Disney wants to do it. I think Emilio wants to do it, and maybe he has an inside track on Josh Jackson wanting to do it, and maybe Josh didn't agree with, you know, how everything was playing out in Game Changers either, and he wants something else. We don't really have any insight from the Josh Jackson side other than he's just been busy. That's what he's said publicly, like he's been working on other stuff. But yeah, I think Disney would be tough because like you got to go back through the marketing. You got to do all that kind of stuff if you're really going to push this and make it worthwhile. So I don't know if Disney wants to do it. But Tommy, anything else before we move on?
Well, I mean, we can continue to talk about this for years and years. And trust me, we will. We got more thoughts, but we'll save it.
Okay.
My yoga studio is a temple to flexibility. And so is my business. Thanks to my Amex Business Gold Card, it automatically flexes with my monthly spending so I can get extra points on purchases like my Metro card and my new stereo system. Check it out. Let's stretch those bonds.
Earn 4x points on your top 2 eligible spending categories each month with an Amex Business Gold Card. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-gold. Built for business by American Express.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
It's all go, 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 isn't it? Luckily, it only takes a minute to freshen up with Burt's Bees micellar towelettes. Anywhere, anytime. Made with at least 70% upcycled cotton, these 3-in-1 wipes effectively and gently remove makeup, cleanse, and hydrate, leaving your skin with no oily residue. Available in coconut and lotus or rose water. Visit burtsbees.com to shop now. Burt's Bees. By nature, for nature, for all.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Let's move on. As I mentioned, last episode, we broke down movie number 2 of the Mighty Ducks universe, The Conway. And it was quite good. We had a lot of good feedback on Twitter, Facebook, the Discord. People liked it. Somebody said, you know, that was a classic Quack Attack episode, which I appreciated. Tommy, you've done some extra work on this. So I'm just going to throw it to you and let you take over here.
Okay. So Mike and Kevin, can you see my screen appropriately?
Yes.
Yes.
This is
we'll have to describe for the audio listeners, but if you're watching on YouTube, you can see this.
And we'll also show notes and everything. We'll have some accompanying things. It'll be for those of you who access on Twitter, Discord, etc. It'll be easy. So basically what we wanted to do is, you know, we kind of came up with 5 crew members for the Conway, you know, for this heist group. We had, of course, you know, Casey Conway, Charlie's dad. We had like kind of like a nerdy girl who works at Radio Shack. We had like a nice guy, Minnesotan, and like a former NHL enforcer. Is that right, Mike?
That sounds familiar to me. Yes.
And so we're just like, well, we want to cast this. And now obviously we can say like, oh, well, have all these A-list actors play them. It's like, okay, well, let's try to have a little fun and maybe, you know, dabble in realism. And so for those of you who are, you know, hockey or basketball fans, especially, you'll see a lot of these on social media. This kind of came in vogue maybe 8 or 9 years ago, where it's like, oh, pick your starting five. Mm-hmm. You've got $15 or whatever. And then like, you've got a $5, a $4, a $3, a $2, and a $1 kind of at each position. So, you know, where do we want to spend your $5? And so for this exercise, I've picked five, you know, celebrities for each one of these roles. And, you know, the $5 one is going to be the, you know, the Tom Hanks level, essentially. And the $1 might be like the Carrot Top level. And so do you want Tom Hanks or Carrot Top to play Casey Conway? I'll go through a little bit. Now, the idea is to, you know, make your crew. And do you want your crew to be like, is this like a super big comedy where you can kind of build it that way? Is it more serious? Who do you want to be, you know, kind of your star? And is one of the supporting roles going to be a little bit bigger? And so I'd love to hear from the Quacklites as well. But Kevin and Mike have not seen this at all.
I just want to say before we see this, I am excited about this.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what Tommy has put together for this.
I agree. I was about to say, I'm irrationally excited for this.
Okay. And so please be nice. I've done this, you know, over the course of the last week, holding a baby at most while I'm like at a whiteboard trying to figure it out and see like who's even in movies these days. And so what I'll do is I'll go through each slide and we'll go over, and then I'm going to have a final slide that has like all the lists on there. Okay. So we can then, you know, kind of discuss it.
I just want to say up front, I'm going to be sorely disappointed if Wanda Sykes is not an option.
Oh, okay.
I'll go over some caveats, but Wanda Sykes, I have like a wild card round as well. All right. So the Conway pick five, you have $15 to pick five actors, choose wisely. So the first up is the former hockey enforcer. Mm. Your $1 pick, J.J. Watt.
Mm. Mm.
$2, Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
$3, Ethan Suplee.
Wait, who's that? I don't know who that is.
Louis Lastic and Remember the Titans.
Oh, okay, okay.
And of course, he's been in other things, Boy Meets World, etc. $4 is John Bernthal. He played the Punisher. He was in The Walking Dead. He's got a very distinct tough guy look. $5 is Terry Crews, and I have a typo there.
Mm.
And so what I'm trying to do, of course, is because this is like an ensemble cast, you can't have, you know, these are the supporting roles. So I didn't want to put like leading men or women necessarily in for a role that's kind of small.
Ron Perlman would have been a great addition to this as well.
That would have been good. I think he's a little bit too old.
Yeah.
And so I tried to keep this. Terry Crews is a little bit older, but, you know, he looks like he's pretty young. So, like, top 50, maybe.
I like it. I like, although I'm not all that familiar with John Bernthal. I find Ethan Suplee? I find it interesting that he's the $3 here.
Yeah. Mike, any initial thoughts off this one?
I think you're getting good value with this. I don't know anybody else. Like, I don't know the other, you know, four cast members, but I like the lower levels here. I think you're getting good value for sort of a side piece. You have to think,
like, obviously J.J. Watt and Snoop Dogg are like A-list celebrities,
right?
But they're not actors.
I might, my only change to this, I might swap Snoop Dogg and Ethan Suplee.
Fair enough.
Interesting.
The Minnesotan. So for this one, I wanted actors who are from Minnesota.
Mm.
Okay. So if
not,
you're
just not just doing accents, they can't do accents.
Well, we'll see. And so this is a male character. So keep that in mind. One is Jesse Ventura.
Okay.
Two is Garrett Hedlund, who's in Friday Night Lights, the movie. He was in Aragon, I believe, which was a piece of shit.
wait, who is he in Friday Night Lights?
The movie, he was a Billingsworth, the fullback who always fumbled.
Oh, okay.
And he's been in like a Coen Brothers movie. So he's like, you know, he gets steady work. He's younger. He's probably like our age, like in his 30s. Three is James Hong, who you guys would recognize. He's in Big Trouble in Little China. He's like 95, basically. He's like he was born in Minneapolis to like Chinese immigrant parents. Mm. You'd recognize him. So it's like, which way do you want to go with this role? Do you want like an old guy, a young guy, someone funny, etc.? 4, Sean William Scott.
Mm.
And 5 is Peter Krause, which is our Game Changers connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren Graham.
Mike, initial thoughts. Go
ahead.
I was just going to comment on Peter Krause too, because I know that Matt Bomer is coming up and they've been in the show together. So.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I like the Game Changers connection. Laura Graham's ex-husband now, I think. Sean William Scott is strong there. The other, they're two not too familiar with, but I feel like there's a wide variety here. So
yeah, this is probably the most, I don't know. The first one was pretty diverse.
Too, right.
But I'm just from types of actors.
All right. Next up is the Radio Shack nurse. This is a female role. All right. First is Megan Fox.
Excellent.
For $1.
If this list had been done 10 years ago, she would have been the $5.
So I looked at her her last three credits on IMDb. It's all 3.4 out of 10, 2.7 out of 10, etc. $2 is Rebel Wilson.
Oh, okay.
$3 is Lizzo.
Oh, interesting.
$4 is Jenna Ortega, who is very up and coming right now. She was Wednesday in The Addams Family. She was in You, and I think she's starring in she's going to be in the Beetlejuice sequel or something.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 is Awkwafina.
Nice.
And so this one is another kind of eclectic group. And it's how big do you want to get it? It's if you have Awkwafina in this one, it's okay, well, I want that role to be much bigger. And then maybe you have a spinoff afterwards. If you want, Lizzo, it's I just want to make a couple extra bucks because I know she'll bring in a different crowd or something.
Right. Yeah. I feel like this is a high risk, high reward here. You could go with Rebel Wilson, who's solid. You know what you're getting out of Rebel Wilson. She's going to be solid. She's going to be funny. Or you go, Lizzo or some of the others here where you swing for the fences. I like it.
Yeah, Rebel Wilson is the safe one. And Lizzo is a little bit more of a risk, but I think she's a little bit more high value. Okay, so Charlie's Dad. $1 is Devon Sawa, who, of course, is Junior Floyd in Little Giants and doesn't do much acting anymore.
Mm-hmm. Also, I believe he was a goalie in the Hawks. He has a Hawks connection, so I like this.
$2 is our boy, Alex Villahoos.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow, $3. $2 for Alex Vlahos. Man.
Alex is a little bit of an unknown on this side of the pond. $3 for Matt Bomer. $4 for Jake Gyllenhaal.
Wait, Jake Gyllenhaal is a $4? That's a
Tommy's
big
going
name
big here. Let's see.
$4.
$5 for Josh Jackson.
There you go. Okay.
And so here, of course, Jake Gyllenhaal famously was in the running to play Charlie. And so.
Okay.
And so Jake Gyllenhaal is a $5 actor. Don't get me wrong, but Josh Jackson, if you want to play him to play Charlie's dad,
is more valuable to this game.
Yeah, yeah. For those that don't know, Jake Gyllenhaal told Howard Stern many years ago that he had gotten the Mighty Ducks, and his parents told him he couldn't do it. We've tried to confirm this, and no one really seems to remember him being cast there. But he was probably in the running at some point. So don't know. All the details, but it sounds like he was really going for the Mighty Ducks and his parents told him he couldn't do it because he had to, focus on school and whatnot.
But he was able to do Donnie Darko?
I don't know. That's the story.
Jake Gyllenhaal, right? Yeah.
All right. So Casey Conway, the lead of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
$1, Lindsay Lohan.
Excellent. Oh, interesting.
And remember, this is someone who has to play someone in their kind of early 20s. $2 is Bella Thorne, who's a former Disney star who's in her 20s. She's kind of coming up now. Also has red hair, I think. 3, Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones. She played Lady Sansa.
Mm-hmm.
4, Anya Taylor-Joy. Very hot right now. She was in Queen's Gambit. 5, Julia Garner, who is in Ozark, won 3 straight Emmys for her performance. I don't know if it's 3 straight, but she won 3 of them. All, actors who are in their 20s, maybe late 20s for a couple of them, but kind of fit that bill for, again, the right now. Maybe you're saying, oh, this person would be really good, but maybe that person is 40.
I can already tell you I'm spending $5 on Julia Garner. She's incredible.
Mm. Mm.
She would be so good in this role too. She would be all right. Like all awesome.
Right. So here's your sheet. And so you've got $15. So Mike, I want to hear you rattle off. What are you thinking about?
I
want to hear your five.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to add up as I go here. I think Casey Conway is the most important role. So I think that is, as Kevin mentioned, the $5 for Julia Garner. If I run out of money here, I'm fine with the $4 option, Anya Taylor-Joy.
We are not limited to like one per stage or anything like that, right?
No, you could take two fives. Like if you're just like, I got to have that power couple, Josh Jackson and Julia Garner. Mm-hmm. Or you could do like five ones and just bank the rest of the money.
Yeah, I'm adding here.
That'd be a bold strategy.
Oh, and here on this slide, I actually made a mistake. So on the nerd, Rebel Wilson should be two and Lizzo is three.
Right. All right. I think I got my... Oh, what am I at now? I'm at 11 with two to go.
Some of the groups are a little bit tougher. Like, because you can't go wrong, I think, with any of the... You know, the Charlie's dad picks, but Minnesotan, a little bit tough because you're really kind of picking a specific type of character.
So, okay. I think, let me see. Let me add this up. So I'm at 9. That gives me 13, which gives me the 2. Okay. I think I got it. Kevin, do you have yours?
Hang on. Give me a second.
All right. No worries. I mean, I can start while Kevin gets going here. Yeah, five. I'm going Julia Garner. I'm taking her. She's the most important role. You want the best actress there or actor. Number Charlie's dad. I'm going with the Homer pick of Vlahos. I think this brings him across the pond here. And sort of opens up some more opportunities for him. So I like that for him. I like that for the pod. I was, you know, tempted to put Lindsay Lohan Vlahos together because they're in this other movie coming out, Iris Wish, coming out, I think in February next year, but decided to go keep the main character strong there. For the nerd, I'm going Rebel Wilson. I'm taking the safe choice. I think she's going to be funny. She knows how to play off these other people too. So, You have really three strong professional actors here. Minnesotan, I'm going with Sean William Scott. I thought Peter was overvalued. And then the other three, I'm sort of like hit or miss on. So I went with Sean William Scott. So that brings me up to 13, which gives me the 2 of Snoop Dogg, which I really like. Snoop's getting into hockey here. He's trying to buy the Ottawa Senators with some other people. And I think this provides that vehicle. He's talked in interviews basically about how the NHL doesn't know how to market, which I kind of agree with. So I think he sees this as a marketing play. He's going to be funny. Him and Rebel Wilson together, I like that a lot. So that's my five. I'm going Julia Garner, Alex Vlahos, Rebel Wilson, Sean William Scott, and Snoop Dogg. So that is for Casey Conway, Julia Garner, Charlie's dad, Alex Vlahos, the nerd, Rebel Wilson, the Minnesotan, Sean William Scott, and the enforcer, Snoop D-O-double-G. So, Tommy, your thoughts?
I think that's strong. I appreciate that you went low on Charlie's dad. I think that also kind of reinforces that Casey Conway is a star of this. Rebel Wilson, I think, is a very safe at two. And I think she could be really good. I think the Minnesotan is tough. What's interesting is Chris Pratt is also from Minnesota, but I deliberately did not want to put him on this list because he's in everything right now.
Yeah, we probably couldn't get him. So, Kevin, are you ready?
Yes, I think so. But I might need some help to make some decisions on a couple.
Okay.
So as I said, I'm Julia Garner. That's like the easiest decision on this list. She's incredible. One of my favorites. For Charlie's dad, I'm going with Matt Bomer. I just think he would be perfect for this type of role. He's already well practiced in it from White Collar, which is the show he was in with Peter Cross. For the nerd, there are two ways that I can go here. My first instinct was to go Lizzo, just because I think that would be fun. But I also like the idea of like really hot nerd Megan Fox being in this.
Oh,
and I think I made the switch to her, to Megan Fox, to get greater value in another category. And then so for the Minnesotan, Sean William Scott, because again, I think he would be awesome in this, and I just want to see him in another hockey movie. Well, although this isn't really a hockey movie, but whatever. And then depending on where I went with Lizzo or Megan Fox, either Snoop Dogg or JJ Watt, I think I'm going to go with Megan Fox and Snoop, though. Although JJ Watt would be really good. He would be awesome.
I almost went with the Lizzo JJ Watt route. So I do think JJ Watt would be good as an enforcer for this. Like he's looking for stuff to do now. You know,
he'd be good as like the dumb like oaf, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Really... My only worry with him is, you know, he's not the professional actor. So like, are we going to have to really hide him if he goes in there and for whatever reason just seems to freeze up? But he's a personable enough guy, and I'm sure he's been in enough commercials and stuff like that that could get him through. So I like this a lot though. So
I think I'm gonna go Megan Fox and JJ Watt and save a dollar.
There you go. Invest the dollar in, you know, production. I like it. I like it a lot. Tommy, did you have any preference? Have you performed this yourself?
Yeah, and so I think I really appreciate it. I'm glad we don't have like all the same thing. And so I think anyone in Charlie's Dad you can make a case for.
I agree.
I kind of want to do the $4 picks for both. So Anya Taylor-Joy and Jake Gyllenhaal. And so really good, you know, kind of, I think they, you know, they could have like great chemistry. Jake Gyllenhaal obviously is a little bit older, but we know this never stopped any casting ever, particularly with like a leading female who's in her 20s or whatever. I want to do Lizzo as well. I think that's just a lot of fun. I wanted to do Awkwafina, but that would be... I would be strapped for cash, and I don't want to put Jesse Ventura in this as the Minnesotan.
I agree.
And so I'm going to go Anya Taylor-Joy, Jake Gyllenhaal. So that gives me $8. So I got $7 left, and I do Lizzo as a $3 choice. So I've got $4 for these last two. And so I'm actually going to go James Hong and JJ Watt. And so because James Hong is so old, I think you could just have a lot of good fun with that. James Hong and Lizzo just being like really good friends or something like that, and it's just kind of like a very much like a Lizzo, you know, you get a lot of tropes of like saying, you know, young person slang or whatever, and James Hong doing the same thing for like old people and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I think JJ Watt would be fun. Again, he would have to be elevated by everyone else's performance, I don't think I'd make him like an oaf. I think I would make him like he's a lot smarter than he lets on.
He's misunderstood.
And it's just because he's missing like his two front teeth, and so people think he's an idiot, but he's actually like incredibly smart. And he went to Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin's a good academic school. Not that's ever stopped athletes from getting to that maybe they wouldn't qualify for otherwise.
I think we need to ask JJ Watt about this prospect.
Yeah. We could do it. Yeah, he follows us on Twitter. He said at some point that he would, you know, come on. This was years ago when he was literally like the league MVP. So now he's buying soccer teams and stuff like that. So he's busy, but I can try to work.
And I don't know if we've ever told the Quackalites this, but we were stumping pretty hard for him to be the Josh Duhamel actor.
So we were... basically, I guess I can tell the story now, right? There's nothing really bad in it. Basically, we got wind, or there was an announcement about, you know, obviously Emilio leaving, and we heard that they had casted someone else, you know, to replace the Emilio role, which was essentially Josh Duhamel. So we didn't know that at the time. Emailed Brill, tried to get him to tell us. And he made us guess. So we spent the whole afternoon, and there was several text threads and email threads with Brill, because he likes to mess with us. And we, at some point, we listed out like three actors, and
he gave us criteria. He told us that it was a former athlete.
Right. Yeah, it was a former athlete, and that he had lived close to Minnesota. He was Minnesota adjacent, I think, was the clue.
Yeah.
So we listed J.J. Watt. We listed somebody else, and we listed Josh Duhamel.
We listed Craig Kilborn because why not?
Well, he said we listed Craig Kilborn first, and then he said, follow that thread. Like, why'd you guess Craig Kilborn? Follow that thread. So we listed three others, and we were going to get the scoop if we guessed it right. And he said it was one of the three. So we had to make one final guess between J.J. Watt, somebody else. I'll go back in my text thread and look it up. And Josh Duhamel. And we guessed J.J. Watt, and we were wrong. So we could not get the scoop. So Deadline got the scoop. But he did eventually tell us that it was indeed Josh Duhamel. So we were that close to getting the scoop on Josh Duhamel being the past member of Mighty Ducks Game Changers, but it is what it is. We thought we had it with JJ Watt too, which was incredible. But I'm glad to see him back here, and I'm glad to see him joining the Mighty Ducks universe in whatever way he can. So that is it for us.
And so one last thing, and I actually have to roll, so apologies guys. I do want to do that quack question. That might be a good episode, honestly. So let's table that. The one wild card is, you get to cast anyone you want as the KC mob boss. Kevin has already thrown Wanda Sykes out there. That's not a bad
thing. That doesn't make any sense, but okay.
All right. Well, I'll think about it. I'm not good with like actors, so I need to, you know, really think about it and do some research about what people are doing. But we will come back maybe next episode and do that. So I like it though. For us, thequackadick.com. Go there, contact us. At QuackTechPod on Twitter, Facebook.com/QuackTechPod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Go to Spotify, wherever you listen. Thanks to our producers. Most recent producer, I think, is Bobby Lemaire still. Air Lemaire, thank you so much. He's an executive producer. Real quick, friend of the pod, Adam F. Goldberg. If you're looking for something to watch, Disney Plus, Muppet Mayhem. He says this is his like the favorite show he's ever worked on. He basically fought hard for these rights. At one point, we were going to interview him, and he got the call from Disney like the same time we were going to interview him. So we had to reschedule the interview. It was for Muppets Mayhem, I'm pretty sure. So he loves Muppets. He's trying to make the Muppets universe. Good guy. I just finished episode one. It's light. It's fun. If you want to see cameos, throwbacks to back in the day, he does it perfectly. So that's my pitch. Watch Muppet Mayhem. Help him out. It doesn't really help the pod, but help him out. He's a good guy. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Bye bye. Ain't no turning back. Start to be the man in the on a crack attack. The Quack Attack is back, Jack. Oh, yeah.